Well, this year, I really want to help set you up for 2017, because I honestly believe 2017 can be the greatest year of your life. Again, if it's the greatest year of your life spiritually. And so there's some things you can do to set up yourself to really succeed this year spiritually in a powerful way. One of the things I encourage everybody in our church to do with us is read through the Bible every single year. Like, get on a Bible reading plan. The one I personally recommend, the one that I think is best for every level of faith, whether you're just beginning on your Christian journey or you've been around for a while, is what we call the one-year Bible reading plan. For a lot of you that may be new to Christianity, I've heard of people who they think they just want to kind of get the Bible, start with page one, and they go all the way through the Bible, page one to the very end, like a typical novel. Well, what you need to understand is the Bible's not put together like a typical novel. It's actually 67 different books compiled together over 3,000 years by 40 different authors in three different languages in different countries. And so you have to understand some of that to kind of start at the beginning and go all the way through without getting a little bit frustrated with, because you'll get in some patches of the Old Testament that if you don't know why that's there, it'll get very frustrating, and you'll quit the Bible reading plan like, you know, the first couple months of the year when you get kind of stuck in Leviticus. And so what we've done is we endorse and support this one-year Bible reading plan, because what this does, in 12 to 15 minutes a day for the average reader, you can read through the entire Bible in 1 year, the whole Bible in 1 year. You'll have a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, and then a psalm and a proverb, the wisdom, every single day. A great reading plan. It's great for the days that you're in Leviticus, because you'll read through the Leviticus stuff and say to yourself, thank God I get some New Testament today. I'm so glad I'm going to get a reading Psalm today, because this Leviticus stuff can be tough at first, especially when you don't understand why it's there. When you understand why it's there, it's actually a very beautiful book. There's a lot of meaning there, and it really shows the heart of God through that book. But if you're kind of beginning and you don't quite understand it yet, great to read it, but it's good to have something else to read too. So I would encourage you to join us on the one-year Bible, because my goal as a pastor is to get you to the place where you don't depend on me for your spiritual nourishment. There's a lot of people who the only spiritual food they get every single week is what their pastor serves them on Sunday. I want you to learn how to be a self-feeder. I want you to learn how to eat every day. Like, I don't have a red phone at home that gives me like this direct line to God where I'm somehow, because I'm a pastor, I'm more connected to God than any of you. There's nothing further from the truth. Every single one of you can connect with God the same way I connect with God. And that's honestly my goal as a pastor, is to get myself to a position where you don't need me. You don't depend on me, where you're connecting with God on your own. You have your own relationship with God. And that's what the Bible will do. So YouVersion.com to me is the best program for the one-year Bible. You can download the app to your iPhone, to your iPad, to any mobile device. You can do it online. When you get on the website, they'll have different Bible reading plans. They'll have New Testament plans, 30-day plans, 60-day plans. Go into the whole Bible plans, and in the whole Bible plans, the first one that is listed is the one-year Bible reading plan. That's the one I would encourage you to sign up for and go through with us this year. It'll change your life, getting connected to God's word on your own, feeding off it on a daily. The first thing I do every day is read the Bible. Like, before I check an email, before I look at Instagram, before I do anything, I want to know what God has to say. And it sets the course of my day when I do that. And so I encourage you to do that with us. Next up, to really kind of focus the year. And this really is the secret to our church. It's 21 days of prayer and fasting. We set aside 3 weeks, 21 days every January, where we focus on God. We put it into our calendar. We make Him a priority in our life. And we pray and we fast and we seek Him. And this is the reason God is blessing our church. Like what is happening in our church is way beyond our ability. It's way beyond our talent. It's way beyond our, like, we're not smart enough to pull off what God is doing in our church family. We depend on God. And that's why we begin every single year with the 21-day season as a church. But I want to encourage you to get into the habit personally of beginning every year. You want to have one of the greatest years of your life, begin it right. Begin it right. Make God a priority. Let God know in your calendar, in your schedule, in your time, in your energy, that you're a priority in my life. Like, I'm going to set aside 3 weeks at the beginning of the year, and I'm going to focus on you. And we do that through this season of prayer and fasting. So next Sunday, we begin our 21 days. So the following Monday morning, we'll meet in this room Monday to Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., 1 hour sharp of prayer. And then Saturdays at 9 a.m. and on Saturdays, childcare is available. Now, here's the thing. Many people, even people who aren't Christians, people of different faiths, people of no faith at all, they understand prayer, the concept of prayer. They may not like it, they may not do it, they may not feel like they're very good at it, but at least they get the concept. They understand the definition. This is what prayer is. What I've seen today is very few Christians in our generation understand fasting. Very few Christians has been taught about fasting, how to fast, and what's very sad is very few Christians today have ever participated in a fast, have ever personally fasted for their spiritual life. So what I want to do is I want to spend some time tonight really helping you understand the spiritual discipline of fasting, because it is one of the most powerful spiritual disciplines. And it is so neglected and it's been so forgotten in the church today. You know, I feel like if we surveyed our church, how many of you have ever fasted spiritually? Very few people could honestly say, I fasted spiritually. And that's a shame when you understand the benefits and the power of fasting. And I have been told that you can't teach these high-level, you know, spiritual disciplines to people that are new in their faith. And I absolutely disagree. Fasting is for everyone in their journey. Even if you've been a believer for 2 days, you can fast. Like, you can pick up on this spiritual discipline. And let me tell you this. This is what will make Christianity very, very real to you. Like, if you want Christianity to become a life-giving relationship with God and not just a religion, a dead religion that you kind of go through the motions and you're just kind of, you know, trying to be a better person and learn more, and it's kind of a history class to you, if you want to change all of that and make this very alive and very real, one of the most powerful ways to connect your faith to God is through fasting. Like, it's like putting the batteries into it. Like, it comes alive at a whole different level when you learn the discipline and the art of fasting. And it's mentioned in the Bible over 75 times. And I want to show you some of that tonight. Let's begin with what Jesus had to say about fasting. In Matthew chapter 9, John's disciples came and they asked Jesus, they asked him, meaning Jesus, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples, they're not fasting? Like, we're fasting, but how come your disciples aren't fasting? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? And we'll dig into that at a later time. The time will come when the bridegroom, meaning Jesus, he's talking about himself, will be taken from them, and then they will fast. And Jesus was saying, look, as long as I'm on earth and I'm with them, they don't need to fast. But there's going to come a time where I'm going to leave earth. I'm going to ascend to heaven. I'll sit next to my Father. And when that time comes, that's when people who follow me are going to need to fast. Well, let me let you know, we're in that time now. Jesus, 40 days after he resurrected from the dead, spent 40 days teaching and training his followers, and then he ascended to the Father. And when he ascended to the Father, this age began. The age of fasting began. Meaning, for those of us that follow Jesus, for those of us that are committed Christians, this is a season where we need to fast. And when you look at the New Testament church, when you follow the Christians in the book of Acts, fasting was a regular part of their life. In Acts chapter 13, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, they're worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. And that's important for you to know, because there's many people here where you need to hear from God on a certain area in your life. You're trying to hear from God over a job, whether you should take a job, whether you should leave a job, whether you should change careers, over an investment, over a family. Should I marry this person? Should I not marry this person? There's a lot of things where you need to hear the Lord speak. Well, one of the problems we have is we're not hearing God's voice because there's so much clutter. There's so many things in the way. That's what fasting will help you do. Hear God clearly. It says, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. Saul is who becomes later the Apostle Paul, for the work to which I have called them. So after they'd fasted and prayed, so again, more fasting and prayer, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Even the Apostle Paul, later on in Corinthians, would say, I fast often. The greatest apostle to ever live said, I fast often. This is a regular part of my life. So the question tonight is, how does fasting work? What is fasting? Like, what does this mean? Well, let me first deal with the misconceptions of fasting. A lot of people, you know, for some reason, they think fasting is paying penance. Like fasting is God wants you to suffer, and so you're punishing yourself by not, you're starving yourself, and you're suffering because God wants you to suffer, and you've got to pay penance, and you were really, really bad before you came to Jesus, and now that you're a Christian, you're going to have to work off all of that debt. You're going to have to work off all the junk you did before you found Jesus, and that's what fasting is. It's punishing yourself because God wants you to suffer. Can I tell you, there's nothing further from the truth. There is nothing, fasting is not punishment. Fasting is not suffering for the sake of suffering. Fasting is in no way a form of penance. The best definition I can give you for fasting is here's what fasting is. It's cleaning out the clutter. That's all it is. It's getting rid of the distractions. The best illustration I can give for those of you that are married, fasting is when you go on a date with your wife and you leave this in the car. That's what fasting is. Like, I'm going to get rid of all of the distractions so I can focus on what really matters, the relationship that really matters. It's just getting rid of the distractions. So we're not fasting because God wants us to fast. We're fasting because we need to fast. Like God doesn't need to fast. There's nothing blocking him in his relationship with you. The problem is we have stuff blocking us. Like, we've got all this clutter and all these distractions in our life. So let me illustrate it like this. I've shown this diagram many times, and it just helps people understand fasting. As a human being, we're the only part of God's creation that actually has three parts. Plants have one part, a body. Animals have two parts. They have a body and a soul. They have emotions. But as humans, we are a three-part being. Let me show you this. This is in your notes, so I encourage you to fill in these blanks. First off, it's the body. The body connects us to ourself. The body helps you understand you. It connects you to you. Like, you feel hot, you feel cold, you feel pain. It just connects you to you. The soul is the part of us that connects us to others. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's how you connect to other people. Now, as humans, we have this third part that no other part of creation has, and that is a spirit. The spirit is the part of us that connects us directly to God. Now, when you're born on earth, the Bible says you're born, your body is fully alive and your soul is fully alive. But when we're born spiritually dead. Our spirit is dead. That's why Jesus says when you become a Christian, your spirit is born again. Your spirit is awoken. It's made alive. And Paul says we are to live by our spirit. So here's the way your life works. At any given moment of your life, one of these three is in charge. At any given moment, one of those three is calling the shots in your life. The one that's in charge is the one that's the strongest. And the one that's the strongest is the one that you feed the most. That's how your life works. Paul says we need to live a life where our spirit is calling the shots, where we are led by the spirit, where our spirit is the strongest. The body and soul are subject. They're submitted. You know, these two, you could call them the flesh. The Bible uses the term flesh. The flesh must be subject to the spirit. So here's how fasting works. Fasting is when we purposely deprive our body and we deprive our soul for a season of time so that our spirit can be fed the most and our spirit can come alive. For example, when you're blind, all of your other senses become stronger. So we're depriving the body and we're depriving the soul so that our spirit becomes alive. It becomes the strongest. It takes charge. Because here's the thing. You don't want to live with your body in charge. You don't want to live subject to your cravings. And you don't want to live with your soul in charge. You don't want your feelings calling the shots. Like however you want to live according to your spirit. So let me give you the different types of fast. And all of this information is on our website. We have a fasting page where we're going to have a lot of resources there. And I encourage you to go through the resources. Prepare yourself for a fast. Understand how they work. Some of you may even need to talk to your doctor before you embark on a fast. You need to be smart about this, but I want you to understand everybody can do it. There is a fast that every single person can do. The first type of fast is what we call a complete fast. A complete fast. It's a full fast. This is water only. That means no food, no eating, water only, and or water and light juices. And you need to make sure you do the right juices. Certain juices will upset you during a fast. There's some juices that are good. There's some juices not so good. Again, that's why you need to research and understand how to prepare yourself for these fasts. This is a complete fast. Now, let me make this clear. It is very, very doable to accomplish this. Some of you are thinking, there's no way I can go 21 days on water only or water and juice. No, this is very doable. But let me warn you, your body will not be happy with you at all. Like your body will be very, 2 hours into the fast, you're going to be like, I'm dying. Like, I need some food right now. I can't survive. I'm going to die. Here's the thing. When sugar and when caffeine leave your body, when you detox of those things, your body is not going to be pleasant. It's going to hurt a little bit. But if you get through the first couple days, and again, you can read the research on it, this is one of the most powerful things you could do. Just research sometimes the medical benefits of fasting. You will be astounded at the different medical. It's like God designed this perfect healing system for our body that deals with so many different things that our bodies struggle with. It's just this purifying, cleansing system that God designed for us. Like, it is not just is it spiritually powerful, but it's physically will really benefit you and help you. There's what we call a partial fast. A partial fast is when you fast one day a week, or maybe 3 days a week, or maybe one meal a day. The Wesleyan brothers who led the great Wesley revival in England, they would fast from lunchtime to lunchtime every week. They would eat lunch one day, and then they would fast a 24-hour period and eat lunch the following day. And they did that for years to sustain the work that God was doing through their life. That's a partial fast. That's when you fast certain times. Another type of fast is what we call the Daniel fast. Daniel, we'll look at that in a few moments. Daniel said, I ate no choice foods. I didn't eat anything desirable or pleasant. In other words, Daniel ate fruits, vegetables, grains, and nuts, anything that was alive. He stayed away from meats and processed food and junk food and he just set all of that aside, for a season of time to fast and to see God. The Daniel fast, the concept of the Daniel fast is a great one that you can begin to teach your children with. Like, I'm working with my son right now, who's 8 years old, and he gave me permission to share this with you. And I was talking to him, I said, maybe we should fast sugar for 21 days. Like, that may be a good thing. Like, no candy, no ice cream, no soda, no Coke, just for 21 days, let's just fast sugar. And he agreed that it would be a good thing for him to kind of fat, and it's going to be a good day at our home for 3 weeks. Like, it's going to be pleasant for 3 weeks with him off of sugar. So I'm excited about this fast, and I'm talking about some other things, but it's a great thing to begin somewhere. But don't take the easy road and say, well, there's no way I could ever do a complete fast. You know, again, don't be a hero. Don't medically put yourself in danger. Like, my wife, who's pregnant, is not going to do a complete fast. Like, that's not going to work for her or the baby at all. But there is fasting that she can do during this 21 days. She's just not going to do anything stupid to put her at risk or our baby at risk. So again, be smart, but stretch yourself a little bit. There are things that are possible. The last type of fasting, and you do this one in conjunction with one of these, is what we call media or soul fast. And let me say, this one is very, very important to do because, again, we're body and soul. You don't want to just deprive the body and feed the soul. You're not going to get any benefits out of it that way. Let me put it like this. If all you do is one of these fasts, but you don't do anything for your soul, you're actually not fasting, you're dieting. You really don't need 21 days. You need Jenny Craig. You need Weight Watchers. You need something else because you're killing the whole purpose of it. And honestly, people thank me most for the media fast. You know, when we ask people to take 21 days and let's just get off of Facebook, Let's get off Instagram. Let's stop watching the news. We don't need Fox or CNN. You know, no movies, no TV. Let's put the video games away. And for 21 days, let's just not feed our soul. Let's just feed our spirit. I'm telling you, people are so happy at the. I mean, it'll all be there when you get back on Instagram. Like, you're not going to believe me. You're not going to miss anything for 3 weeks. Like, the world is not going to stop because you're not on Facebook and letting everyone know what you're eating every day. Like the world will continue. It will. And I'm telling you, you will be so much happier without all that stuff coming into your soul. Like, you're going to find, like, there are going to be things you just don't even go back to afterwards. Like, you're going to be so happy. It's like, why would I even go back to that? Like, I don't even want that in my life anymore. It is powerful. And that's what we call a media or a soul fast. Now, here's the reason we're doing all of this year. We're making a declaration of dependence. That's what this is all about. We're making a declaration of dependence. And I know some of you are thinking, no, isn't it the declaration of independence? Yes, you're talking about nations, though. And the declaration of independence is a very good thing for a country, especially when a country is being oppressed and under tyranny. But that's a terrible thing for you personally. One of the worst things you can buy into is this philosophy of independence, that I'm an independent person. I'm my own. I'm gonna go with whatever I feel. I'm gonna go with whatever I think is best. That is terrible for you. We want to declare our dependence. And let me stand before you tonight and just publicly say, I am completely unqualified to do what I do. Like, I am totally unqualified. Even with all of the education and all of the experience and the talents and the gifts, that's still not enough to do it. I need God. Like, I'm not doing 21 days just to try to lead you into something. I'm doing it for me as much as anyone because I desperately need God. And here's the beauty of it. When you are completely dependent on Him, you have the ability to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you could have ever done in your own ability. That's what happens when you completely depend on Him. And so this is a season of dependence, but it's not just dependence, it's also a declaration. It's a declaration of, we're declaring. We declare, God, we need you. We're going to put it in our calendar. We're going to put our whole life on hold for 21 days, and we're going to focus on you. We're declaring it. And that's what Joel said in Joel chapter 1. He said, declare a holy fast. So this is what we're doing as a church. We're declaring a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord. And that's what we're doing. For 21 days, we're summoning you to the house of the Lord. Join us Monday to Friday, 6:30 a.m., Saturdays at 9 a.m., Sundays at church. Come to the house of the Lord and let's cry out to the Lord together. And what are we declaring? Well, when you study fasting in the Bible, there are 9 different fasts in the Bible, and all of them were different, and they were for different reasons. And so as a church, we're fasting for 5 things this year. We're declaring, I am, as your pastor, declaring 5 things over you personally. I'm declaring it over our church. I'm declaring it over our community, over our nation, and I'm inviting you to join me, and let's declare these things together. Number one, we're declaring revival for our nation. Like, we want our nation back on fire with God. Like, we want our nation. You look at where our nation has gone the last 30 years, the last 20 years, even the last 8 years. Things that used to be horrifying to us are now commonplace. We've lost our dependence on God. And I'm calling us back to God. And it'll start with us, in our church, in our community. Let's start here. You know, there was a time in Israel's history where they lost their dependence on God. There was a time where they were being led by a prophet named Eli in the Old Testament. And Eli, the Bible included a detail about his life. It said Eli was a fat man. Now, that wasn't a derogatory thing or just something to be ugly and rude. Fatness in the Bible always was equated with overindulgence. Basically, what it was saying was Eli was not a faster. Eli was focused on his flesh more. Like, he was live this carefree, if it feels good, overindulgent, feed me first. Like, I'm not going to fast and seek God. I'm going to feed myself. And if you looked at his children, you looked at the state of the nation, that's what you saw. And Israel began to fall apart. And the Philistines came to attack. And they were going to destroy everything God had given them. And then another prophet rose up, the prophet Samuel. And here's what Samuel does in 1 Samuel 7. Samuel said to all the Israelites, if you're returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods. And you fill in the blank for whatever that is for you. Like, what are the foreign gods that you worship? You may say, well, I don't worship foreign gods. What are you talking about? No, the word worship means focused attention. Something is getting your focused attention. Where is your focus, your energy, your attention? And the question is there anything in your life getting more focus and more attention than God? And if there is, then you have foreign gods you're worshiping. He said, rid yourself, commit yourself to the Lord and serve him only. And he, God, will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And here's what they did. On that day, they fasted. And they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And that's what we're going to do for 21 days. We're going to repent on behalf of our nation. We're going to repent for abortion. We're going to repent for divorce. We're going to repent for murder and violence. We're going to repent for the racism, the division we see in our nation. We're going to repent. This is exactly what Abraham Lincoln called our nation to do in 1863. In the middle of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln said, the whole reason we've gotten into this mess is because we became fat and lazy and we lost our dependence on God. And he wrote a letter, and this is in our national archives. He says, we recognize the supreme authority and just government of the Almighty God. And so we're setting apart this day of national prayer and fasting. He goes on to say, we've been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. He says, we have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. He said, intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. And so he set aside a national day of fasting and prayer. And if you study the Civil War, it was at that moment the tide began to turn. The tide began to turn. Shortly after that time, Russia sold us Alaska for $7.2 million. That's 4 cents an acre. After this national day of fasting and prayer, our nation had 28 years of surplus in our budget. We rebuilt ourselves after being decimated through the Civil War. Some of the greatest inventions in American history happened right after this period of fasting and prayer as a nation. And so we're going to declare revival for our nation. The second thing is we're declaring freedom from bondage. So many of you here tonight have one area that you have struggled with more than any other area in your life. When you found Christ, most of the junk you were involved with just went away. Like, you just stopped doing it. But for everybody I know, they've got one area that's been a little bit more difficult to deal with. One area that's been a little bit more of a struggle. The Bible calls it a stronghold. Could be chronic depression or anxiety. Could be an addiction to pornography or cigarettes or some other unhealthy habit. But there's that one area that we have fought and fought and fought. And for whatever reason, we're just not getting the freedom in that area. The disciples dealt with that. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus sent them out and they were healing everyone. Like, they were performing miracles, they were healing everyone, and then they encountered a situation where it didn't work. It didn't work. And it says the disciples came to Jesus in private because they were embarrassed, and they asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Like, why isn't it working this time? Like, we've gotten freedom in all these other areas in our life, but how come this area, like, we're not getting any results? We're not finding freedom in this one area. And Jesus replied, this kind doesn't happen but by prayer and fasting. Again, remember what fasting is. Fasting is when you weaken the body and you weaken the soul so that you strengthen the spirit. See, the reason we have an addiction, the reason we have a stronghold is because we have an area in our body or our soul that's too strong. And so we've got to weaken the body and we've got to weaken the soul so that we can strengthen our spirit and find freedom in that area in our life. So we're declaring freedom over bondage. Here's the third thing. We're declaring blessings over trouble. Blessings over trouble. And I don't know what your trouble is, but we all have some version of trouble. It could be financial trouble, could be a lawsuit that you're in the middle of, could be a relationship, could be a situation with one of your children, medical situation, or a kid that's just away from God and making choices that are breaking your heart. Ezra experienced this in the Old Testament. I don't have time to get into his entire story, but Ezra was charged with bringing 7,500 pounds of gold and 2 million pounds of silver back into Jerusalem to the temple. The only problem was the route that Ezra had to take was a very dangerous route. It was filled with invaders, foreign armies that wanted to destroy them. So here's what Ezra does. He says, I proclaimed a fast. I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us, for our children, and for our possessions. That's what I'm declaring over you this year. I'm praying for a safe journey over you, over your children, over your possessions, a safe journey from the trouble that you're facing. That's why when people come to me and they ask me, what can I pray about for you? Every time, my son, pray for my son, pray for my son, pray for my child, because he's going to have every opportunity for trouble and temptation in this world. And I feel for kids today, the amount of technology, the amount of temptation they have at their fingertips, it's unbelievable the pressure they have in the world. So we pray, we fast for our children. That's why the prayer cards mean so much to me. That's why I can't encourage you enough to take a moment and just write down tonight what your trouble is so that we can begin to declare God's blessing over that area in your life. The fourth thing is we're declaring wisdom for the future. Some of you need to hear from God for a particular situation in your life. Take this job. Don't take this job. Change careers. Marry this person. Get out of this relationship. Here's the thing. God wants to give you supernatural wisdom. God would love to speak to you about that situation. The problem is there's too much clutter. There's too many, we're not hearing. Again, God doesn't need us to fast. We need to fast. Like, there's nothing blocking God from opening doors in our life and from speaking to us. We're the people with the blockage. Like, we've got all this junk and clutter in front of the door. God wants to open a door in your life, but you've got all this junk there. God wants to speak to you. He wants to give you wisdom, but there's all this blockage. That's why we fast. We put ourselves in a position to see what God wants to say to us, to really hear God clearly. We see this in the life of the Apostle Paul. When he first was converted, he was a murderer. He killed Christians for a living, and Jesus blinded him with a light from heaven, knocked him off his horse. It was when he was referred to as Saul at the time. It says in Acts 9, for 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink. He fasted for 3 days. And after the fast, it says, Ananias went to the house and he entered it, and placing his hands on Saul, who had later become Paul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again. That you can see, that you can get God's heart and God's mind on this situation and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. And that's what I'm declaring for you this year. Because some of you, like, you have a major life decision to make, and you have no idea what to, like, you can't see. It's like there's scales in front of your eyes, and you can't figure it out. You don't know what to do. I'm calling you to fast with me. Let's fast. Let's get rid of the clutter. Let's get rid of the distractions so that we can see, that we can have wisdom over our future. Because here's the thing, not every opportunity is a God opportunity. Like, I don't want to take this church one step out of God's will for us. That's why I am dependent on Him. And then here's the fifth area. We're going to declare victory over our enemy. We're going to declare victory over our enemy. And what's sad is they say 51% of Christians today don't believe in a literal devil. Like, they don't believe the devil is real. 51% of Christians. Well, can I tell you, that doesn't make him go away. Like, he's not sitting around, he's like, oh, they don't believe in me, I better go find somebody else. No, he's like, this is great. This makes me do my job so much easier. Like, here's what I can promise you. The Bible is very clear about his game plan for your life. In 2017, you have stealing on its way, killing on its way, destroying on its way. Because that's his plan for your life, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And unfortunately, the devil, in a lot of situations, is working a lot harder to destroy you than you're working at protecting yourself. Here's the good news. We can stand firm. Like, we can stand firm against every attack the enemy throws at us. No weapon formed against us can prosper. Greater is in me than he that is in this world. Like, we can stand firm against the enemy this year. We can have victory over every attack of the enemy, but you're going to need the strength to do it. And we see this fast in the life of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 10, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. There's going to be some battles that you're going to face this year. You're going to be thrown into some wars. There's going to be trouble and attack and everything else. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, Daniel mourned for 21 days, for 3 weeks. This is why we set our season at 21 days. And Daniel says, I ate no choice food. In other words, I didn't eat anything I enjoyed, anything I liked. No meat or wine touched my lips. It was fruits and it was the Daniel fast. And I used no lotions at all until the 21 days were over. And look at what happens after the fast. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. You're going to need strength this year to fight the devil. Because he's coming. He's coming. The good news is you can stand firm. The good news is none of his attacks have to prosper in your life. Like, you don't have to give him any ground to stand on. But you're going to need the strength to fight them. You're going to need the strength to stand firm. You're going to need the strength so that you can stand and not be shaken. And that's why I'm calling our church to a holy fast. I'm declaring it. Like, this is a season where we are going to be completely dependent on God. Like, I don't have what it takes to pull this off. Like, I need God. If you're a parent, you need God. Like, you need to be fasting for your children. Especially in the world that we live in today. I mean, there are so many different reasons we need to be fasting. Like, this is a lost art. It's a lost discipline. We need to bring it back to the church. The reason so many Christians today walk around powerless, walk around ineffective in their faith, walk around, they look at their life and it doesn't look anything like the book of Acts, is because we've lost one of the greatest disciplines that God has given us. And again, God doesn't need you to fast for his sake. Like, he's got no blockages. We're the ones that need to clear the clutter. We're the ones that need to get rid of the distractions. We're the ones that need to set aside some time to focus on the relationship that matters most. And I'm telling you, during these seasons of fasting, you want to see your Christianity come alive. You want to see it go to another level. You want to see it become very, very real, not some dead religion of learning how to become a good person every week, but you want to see this thing become real, like life-giving relationship with God. You see, like, when I read my Bible while I'm fasting, it's like everything, like, it's good all year. Like it's a living, breathing book, But when I'm fasting, it's like glowing. Like it's all highlighted. When I do these spiritual things, when my spirit is being fed the most and everything else is starving, like it's just, it comes alive. I'm telling you, it's one of the most powerful things you'll ever do. And this is how we begin the year. This is how we say, God, I'm dedicating the first of this year to you. I'm giving you the first of 2017. Can you imagine what this year would look like if you dedicated the first to him? Like, God, you're getting the first. I'm going to set this year up right. I'm going to position myself the right way. It'll be one of the greatest years of your life. Would you close your eyes with me for a moment? Before we leave tonight, let me just say there's a number of you here today that you're far away from God, spiritually speaking. Like you look at your relationship and it's not at all where it needs to be. And it's not just because you had a bad week. It's been a long time since God was a priority in your life. For some, God may have never been a priority to you. And you're here tonight, and this sounds so good, but you've got to take the first step of giving your life to Jesus. The first step of putting your faith in Jesus, of accepting him as your Lord. And what a better day to do it than the first day of the year. Like what a more memorable date than the very first day of the year to say, you know what? First day of the year, I committed my life to Jesus. I gave him my heart. I gave him all of my heart. I put my faith and my trust and my hope completely in him. I made him the Lord of my life. And I'd love to invite you to do that tonight. I'd love to just lead you in a simple prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. You don't have to walk down the front to do this. This is just a moment between you and God. But if you're here tonight and you would say, that's me, I'm away from God tonight. I feel the conviction. I feel the weight of my sin, the separation. And I need another chance. I need God to forgive me. I need to put my faith and my trust in Jesus. And if that's you, I'd love to pray with you before you leave. So with every eye closed, if you'd like to join me in that prayer, and again, you don't have to pray this out loud. This is a moment between you and God. God will respond to your heart tonight. But just so that I know who's praying with me, would you very quickly just raise your hand and then put it right back down and say, that's me tonight. I'd like to pray with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Is there anybody else? I appreciate your boldness, your courage. Here's the prayer right now in your heart. Just say this to God. Say, Jesus, tonight I give you my life. Forgive me for all of my sin. I invite you to be my Lord. I put my faith and my hope in you. Thank you for your forgiveness. And thank you that you will never hold my past against me. In the name of Jesus.